In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a great grace that we have the opportunity to celebrate Mass, particularly in this church dedicated to Our Lady of Peace. It is quite providential that our reading today from the book Gospel, from the prophecy of Joel, speaks about peace. Peace to a people who have not known peace in particular. It's speaking about Edom. It is speaking about all those who do violence and difficulty to God's people. We're experiencing that always. The church is always in persecution at some place. That's why the 20th century has been noted by many of the popes before as been the time of the great martyrs of the church. More martyrs in the church in the last century than there were in all centuries prior to the 20th century. Great violence, even now. Though it may seem on the surface in many ways that we are not experiencing that violence, it's only because we choose not to look at that violence that is being done. But what is spoken here within the scriptures is a thing for those who are in a church in a time of crisis in which we are, and it's this message of peace. Peace which is in a way in which the world cannot give and the way the world cannot know because it is founded upon God. That it says that in her entering into Jerusalem, that she will be the source of their peace and that there will be water there. It was speaking about Egypt. Egypt we think of now as Egypt being nothing but desert, but remember that Egypt has the Nile that runs through it, and it's because the Nile River that is so fertile that it gives it so much because it overflows its banks in that way, a very fertile place. Remember, it was the people of Israel who came in the time of famine to Egypt that they might find food there under the ministry of Joseph, not St. Joseph that we know, the foster father of our Lord, but St. Joseph of the Old Testament, who was sold into slavery and because of that became the salvation of his brothers who finally came to get food from Egypt. It said even that place will be a waste. Even Edom, which is known for its great river, the river Euphrates and all those rivers, the Tigris, which flow through it, that will be made a waste in comparison to the fertileness that comes from Jerusalem, only to be fulfilled in she who is the personification of the new Jerusalem, Mama Mary, Our Lady. She is the personification. And from her, many will take suck. It says here within the gospel right there, the woman calls out and says, "Wow, how great are you! Blessed is the woman who bore you, and blessed are those breasts at which you gave suck." If you look at some of the images here within the church, you'll see that somebody is giving suck at those breasts of Our Lady, those abundant breasts, our Lord, but also Saint Bernard. Saint Bernard, who is known to be so Marian, that it was though he was nursed upon the very same breasts of Mary that gave him divine inspiration from God, who also sucked at those same breasts. But he says something still more further. He says that even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and do something about it in obedience. And that's for you and me. He's saying Mary not only bore me, not only gave me suck, but she perfectly obeyed me. And that's what's even greater about who she is. And so I want to share with you, in the little time that we have here, we're doing the Mass of the Immaculate Conception, because it's a Saturday dedicated to Our Lady, and I want to talk to you about a miracle that happened at a church we passed by that I ran into, Santa Maria delle Frate. That's where my own patron, Saint Maximin Kolbe, celebrated his first Mass. He studied in the Gregoriana, the university, which is not far from where we were at the Trevi Fountain. Also within that church, there was a great conversion that I was sharing with Claudia right before. She didn't know about this, so I shared it with her, and I will share it with you right now, this great miracle that happened there. There was a man by the name of Ratisbon. He's known as Ratisbon the Jew. And in that time, he was born in 1814, he was a Jew, and his brother left the Jewish faith, was thought to be an apostate from their Jewish faith because he entered the priesthood. He became a Catholic priest. And at that, he would call to his brother, always trying to call Alphonse Ratisbon to come and convert. Come and see this faith that I have. I have hope in Jesus that my Jewish religion could not give that was there. Hope found only in Christ. And one after another, he rebuffed his attempts, attacked his own faith. But he convinced his brother to come visit him in Rome for a time. So his brother bringing him there here to Rome, he saw the sights, went as a tourist thing, but was constantly heaping attacks against the church, attacks against Our Lady, ridiculing the faith. And in fact, there was a very strong baron who was there who was trying in some way to be able to win his conversion. And this particular baron, Baron Gustav, he was a Protestant, was always trying to win him over to the faith. But he wouldn't hear it in any way. And finally, he knew he had to pay a visit to him. So he snuck his business card into him. He was a great businessman, a great banker. Snuck his business card on the last day of his visit, hoping he could just drop it off at the place to say that he went there and then run away so that he wouldn't have to be around this person and his Catholicism. And so, much to his surprise, when he went there to drop off his card and expect to be led away, he was led into the room, led into the great place, and was given an audience immediately with him, at which he sought to win the conversion of this young man, Alphonsus. Alphonsus, to win his conversion in that way by speaking to him passionately about Our Lady. And he would not allow Ratisbon to leave unless he first took and wore with him this image of the miraculous medal. The miraculous medal. And so he put it in him and made him wear it and wouldn't let him leave before he wrote down a very beautiful Marian prayer, the Memorare. You know the Memorare? Let's pray the Memorare right now to Our Lady. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, who implored thy help, or who sought thine intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, both sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, which I make right now, but hear and answer my prayer. Amen. After writing down that prayer, led him on. This baron was near death himself, and convinced him to stay just a couple more days longer there within the Eternal City to see some more sights, appealing to his desire to see beauty. And in that time, this baron in his suffering offered his suffering for the conversion of Ratisbon the Jew, commending him to Our Lady, and told his dear friend, you will pray at my death 100 memoraries for the conversion of Ratisbon. You know what happened? Days later, this baron died. This baron died. Right there in that moment, offering his sufferings for the conversion of Ratisbon, the Jew, who hated Catholicism, hated Christ, and was very public about it. In that moment, having died, he was convinced to accompany this other friend of his in the funeral preparations there at Santa Maria delle Frate, that we passed there, and to go inside the church still wearing that medal which he'd forgotten within his own pocket there, the miraculous medal that was there with him. Going in there to make the funeral preparations, he stayed in the church while Ratisbon's friend, Gustave, went into the sacristy to prepare everything for the funeral. As he was doing so, when he returned outside of the sacristy, he couldn't find Ratisbon, where he was or where he was doing, so he rushed around the church, which is not very big, and found him there kneeling with tears streaming down his face in front of the image of the Immaculate Conception. He said, what is going on here? What is going on right here? And Ratisbon began at that moment to declare what he had seen there within that church. He said, all of a sudden, when you left me, I was touring to the side of the church, and I saw there before me what? All the whole of the church became dark. There was only one spot of light that was there coming from this altar there at the back, the Immaculate Conception. And so I went toward that light that was there, which was so luminous there before me. And there I saw standing upon the altar that was there, the very same image that was on that medal that was given to me, the Immaculate Conception. Our Lady was there. And she indicated to me to kneel down. And at that moment, she won my conversion. Our Lady has not appeared in the city of Rome very many times in apparitions, just a few. But she appears to unbelievers. She appears to unbelievers. To Ratisbon, the Jew, in this way. And so, at that moment, his friend saw that he was no longer gazing upon it. After hearing the story, he was no longer gazing upon a Jew, but he was gazing upon a convert. A convert who immediately asked for baptism. The story went all around Europe as a scandal, in a good way. A scandal in a good way to all those about this Jew who so hated God, hated the Catholic Church, was now instantly converted to the apparition. Pope Clement investigated it and saw that it was truly a great conversion. He entered shortly after that, went to his wife to win her conversion back. She said, I'll have nothing of it, and left him. And so he entered into the Jesuit order, became ordained a priest, and then later on started his own order of Our Lady of Jerusalem of Mount Zion, which would work for the conversion of Jews and Muslims to bring his brothers back to real faith in Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of Judaism. I leave that with you in this. Today, when we're dedicated to Our Lady, today we're in this Church of Our Lady of Peace, today when we're seeking Our Lady's intercession in our life to wear the miraculous medal and to trust that God works through the power of the miraculous medal. What does it say around the miraculous medal? It says, Virgin, who is conceived without original sin, pray for us, poor sinners, who have recourse to thee. It's known as the miraculous medal because miracles happen. Miracles of conversion, miracles of souls coming to Christ, miracles of healing, miracles of faith happen to those who wear it even without belief. Trust yourselves to Our Lady. She knows the way. She knows how to win conversion. She knows how to soften hearts that are hard. She knows how to bring souls back to repentance. She knows the way because she is the way to Jesus. Jesus came to you and me through her womb. And so, as the Church has always said, it is through Mary that we will enter back to Jesus and go to God. She is the pathway to heaven because she always points to Jesus. She always points to the Lord so perfectly. She was conceived without original sin. Whatever intentions have been brought to you, now entrust them to Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal and ask her to do something which is great and miraculous. Ask for something huge, not for something low. Ask her to bring peace to troubled hearts, to troubled families, to those who are separated from the only source of peace that lasts, which is found in Christ Jesus. She is the New Jerusalem, as the prophet Joel spoke about within our gospel, or within our letter that was there. She is the one who the rivers of life flow out of, because she contains Christ, who is the source of all life, the real water of life. Ask her for many graces here at this Mass and here within this pilgrimage, because she is powerful. If she could convert and transform and totally reorient Ratisbonne, the Jew, what could she do to souls like you and me who put up less resistance than he? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.